Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show. I don't know what episode it is. God damn it.
Are you ready?
I'm not ready. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
Our podcast is now available on Game Pass, along with everything
else. Earl's here.
I will just let you know that I am pushing to get this exclusive on PlayStation Now, because that is the future of gaming. Oh. And if not that, we're going to go to Stadia. Watch.
Oh, wow. All right. Well, I mean, we could go to Amazon Luna. Nobody even knows what that is.
That still has a chance. That still has a chance.
No, it doesn't. Let's not lie to it.
Be real.
Watch. When Amazon takes over the world.
And Jeff is here as well.
I'm here, and I'm magically delicious.
No.
Oh, no.
All right. Yes, Tony alluded to some news today. The merger between Microsoft and Bethesda. Not merger, purchase of Microsoft.
Position.
Bethesda, yeah. Acquisition of them has been finalized, and Bethesda is now part of Xbox. And it sounds like most games going forward are going to be exclusive to Microsoft platforms.
I've seen a lot of cope regarding this.
What was that, Jeff?
I'm seeing a lot of cope regarding this. Just people like seem like one to not want to believe it. Like, is he saying that? It seems like he's saying that. This is kind of bullshit. You know, I thought Phil Spencer was against, you know, exclusivity, and I'm just like, I'm collecting your tears. I'm fucking bottling them.
Old Phil could care less whether it's exclusive or not. It's what gets him the dollars, and having only Bethesda products on Xbox, you know, drives people to Xbox.
And technically speaking, he said that it will be on any system that plays Game Pass. So also Nintendo needs to do is get Game Pass.
PlayStation. Game Pass now on PlayStation.
Weird aside here, like, Phil Spencer is one of the only like video game people I actually like. Like, I don't know if it's like he's good at faking it, or if he's like genuinely like a cool dude, but he seemed like, I watched that Nintendo documentary over
Fame
the last week.
Power. Yeah,
he comes off so cool in it. Like, and he seems like he genuinely loves Nintendo.
Video games.
Like, yeah. Anyway, sorry. Little aside. Phil Spencer, I'm a little super fan.
It's also funny that of the current executive, they got a Microsoft person to speak more than any Nintendo.
Yeah, and he seemed like, I forgot one thing. Like, he said he didn't like or whatever. Or no, there's one thing he said. He's like, I think he might have been one of the few people that was like, you know what? I actually like the GameCube, and everyone else in that documentary shit on the GameCube. It really pissed me off.
I don't know if they crapped on it, but yeah.
And when they got the Wii U, this is a 6-hour documentary. When they got the Wii U, it was literally like 5 minutes on the Wii U. Like, it was just like,
That's how long it existed in the public consciousness.
I was going to say, that was my least favorite part of that, because I wanted more information on like the Wii U and GameCube era Nintendo. What were they going through? What were they thinking? What was their strategy?
Really well-made documentary, but I guess being someone who's like steeped in this knowledge and like kind of knew everything they were saying is like, I wanted them to break down the software libraries on the consoles more.
No, that I don't think that would be in.
They get 18 hours.
Yeah, I don't think that would be in. Like, I don't even know if gamers would watch it for that long of a time.
But I would.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of this ground that's been covered, it's 5 hours. I think it's interesting.
It's well made. It is well made.
It is well made.
Crackle, it's very well made.
The only thing I would say about Crackle, they have way too many commercial breaks.
Way too many ads, and it's very, like, just like when you open the app on Xbox, it's so chaotic with the ads. Like, the ad will, whatever ad is playing will play over whatever you're scrolling through. Like,
yeah, yeah.
Like, it's just.
It was annoying because I didn't watch it at once, so every time I started it, it would be the trailer for that doc. I'm like, I'm going to watch it. You don't have to.
I know, right?
Um,
It's but just yeah, I don't yeah. I don't think I've made an account or whatever. It just it would never remember where I am in the documentary. So by the time I was at episode 2, I was like, you know what? I'm just gonna watch the whole rest of this at once.
So I don't know if you two know what this is.
I've heard Jeff talking about it, but I have not watched it.
You should watch it. You'd like it.
Multi-part documentary on Crackle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I try and avoid Crackle as much as I can.
If it was not like a Nintendo documentary, I would not be on there. Like I use Crackle when I have to.
Crackle exists because the last time I really used Crackle was when they did the Dead Rising movie a few years ago, and that was when I found out about the service. And then it still kind of exists on my Xbox, but yeah, I don't use it that often because it adds or. But yeah, it's a 5-point documentary on Nintendo, and it does a good job. It paints a picture from their history in the 1880s up until the Switch. So through the Switch's success,
That's interesting because my knowledge of Nintendo starts basically in like 1985.
Yeah, like you know what's cool is the first episode. I would say most of the first episode is over an hour long. It's like an hour 15 or something like that, and it's like mostly about the Hanafuda cards that they did and shit. Like it goes. That was the only part where I'm like, you're telling me shit like I have not heard before. And then, like, I think it kind of ends on their early forays into, like, the arcade. Like, before they did Donkey Kong, they were talking about what they did. I think they said they did, like,
a... It's rotoscope?
A Space Invaders ripoff.
Yeah.
And it kind of, like, flopped. And everyone's just like, yeah, you know. No one... Like, they were not on anyone's radar yet, you know?
Got it.
I don't know. It's... I think it's worth watching, for sure.
I'm going to have a lot of time this weekend, so... and not by my consoles, so maybe I will be watching that on my phone.
Why is this? What's going on? What happened?
Well, it's I my daughter is on a dance team, and they have a competition. So I will be in the parking lot for like 97% of it because you can't be in there unless your person's dancing. But it's far enough away that like I have to go there spend all this time, and she has like 7 or 8 dances over the course of 2 days, so I'm gonna spend most of my time Saturday and Sunday sitting in a parking lot.
Just watch it on an iPad or something.
Yeah, I mean, I have my phone, I have multiple ways of Kindle, other ways of watching it that I can hook up to the internet. My wife, weirdly, I don't know, this is through our phone carrier, but she has Wi-Fi in her car, so...
Ooh.
I'll just hook it up through there. There you go. Utilize that. But yeah, I'll be playing like on Switch and handhelds, but I'll also have enough time to watch a 5-part documentary on Nintendo.
So. It's a recommend, I think. I don't know, Earl, what do you think? Like, I think it's well-made enough.
I think it's well made. I think as if you've been following Nintendo, like there's not a lot of new ground once they get into gaming, which is why I think they do a decent job of kind of being fair in some regards. Like they mentioned how they screwed up not going with CDs during the PlayStation era. Yeah. They mentioned that, Jeff mentioned the GameCube. They kind of mentioned like, the GameCube had a lot of issues, but also like, the GameCube doesn't necessarily have everybody's favorite iterations of like popular Nintendo franchises, and how important that became. The one part I did not like, and they were trying to they talked about the Wii U, and one of the reasons they gave like, the Wii U not doing as well as it did was around the time it launched. There was that earthquake in Japan.
Yeah.
Was that the
Wii U caused Fugidawa? An earthquake in Japan?
Nuclear reactor and the
tsunami. Yeah, remember like we were I think at Fukushima PAX when that happened.
Fukushima.
Yeah.
Yep.
But I don't think they really I think they kind of tie that to like getting the console out. They're like it had to happen anyway. So like Nintendo Japan still was operational after.
Yeah.
But yeah, a little bit. Like it's kind of like trying to tie it to this real world event that like really didn't play. Like that has nothing to do with why the Wii U was good or bad or successful or not.
And, like, and I guess for like a documentary for broad pitches, it's very hard to get into the reasons. You get into the reasons that people tend to think of. The name's confusing. People don't know if it's an add-on or a separate device. The tablet was too big and bulky coming out of the Wii, which is so simple to use.
Bad launch lineup, which I agree with for
the
sure.
The fact that the tablet was not actually a tablet.
Yes, the fact that like you had to stay within a perimeter of
that was the main thing. I think they kind of honed in on that. At the end of that, they're like, the main problem here is like if you got too far, and then, you know what? That's like that's accurate. Like
and big thing that's, with it. That's the problem the Switch solves, right?
Yeah, yeah. Then you know they said that. I also think they did not spend nearly enough time on the Switch at the end. It's just kind of like
no. I mean that's different because that's ongoing. You don't necessarily want to write that story.
We're deep into the Switch story and like. It's literally like 10 minutes at the end is about the Switch. It's kind of
yeah,
weird.
Because again, it's like it's ongoing. It's like a story that like I mean, it can turn south. It won't. I mean, it can. But and the other thing is they give lip service to it. But I'm also surprised at how little the handheld is actually talked about.
Oh, really, like Game Boy, Game Boy Advance, DS.
I think it's.
Really
I mean, it's very.
They touch on them.
Really, it's the Game Boy and it's the DS. That is Nintendo handheld to them. Like the Game Boy Advance exists, and I don't even remember if the 3DS gets mentioned.
It does, yeah. They talk about it,
but yeah, it's really the Game Boy, and it's Game and Watch, it's the Game Boy, and it's the DS. Those are the three pillars of Nintendo handheld evolution.
Oh yeah, you know what? My bad. They do not talk about the 3DS. They talk about the DS. They're like the DS is like the best selling console ever. Like
yes, and the 3DS is.
Just don't mention it, yeah, which is weird. Like, I don't know.
I mean, it did well, right? Like,
yeah, but I think the thing with the 3DS is, like, what would you actually talk about with the 3DS?
It's more of the DS. It's just 3D. Like,
all right, here we're, like, going down rabbit hole here, but...
But it is talking about video games.
Yeah. So while we're on, you know, game or their handhelds or whatever, what is your guys' favorite Nintendo handheld? Because I definitely have one. And it's not the 3DS. It's not the Switch. I don't count the Switch.
I like the 2DS. I was a big fan.
2DS.
Yeah.
I mean, as far as like game average goes, I think that because the 3DS plays the DS's games and everything, but I feel like for nostalgia's sake, it's probably the Game Boy Color.
Okay. Chris.
Yeah. I mean, for me, I mean, I did not have a GBA until probably the last 10 years or so. So like. It was the Game Boy for most of it. I really like the 3DS. You can play a lot of those old Game Boy games on there through through the eShop, but it's probably the original Game Boy.
Okay. My favorite is, and I'm pretty like firm about this, is the GBA SP. The one that I bought, the first GBA I bought was the GBA SP.
Is that the little cube one that like...
Yes, that would flip open.
That's the one I have. It's a nice system.
And so like I did not own the GBA before that, the like long purple one or whatever. Like I just I got the NES SP. That's my favorite handheld ever. Like it's just, that one does fit in your pocket perfectly. Yeah. Nice backlit screen. The GBA library was fucking great. That thing looked awesome because it looked like an NES controller. Like, I don't know. Like, and it, you know, it's not specifically that one, but like, I just never got as into the any of the DS line. Like, I think the 3DS is definitely better than regular DS, but like, even the 3DS, I probably had, I don't know, 5 to 10 games for. Like,
I'm not a big
handheld gamer to begin with.
There's a time that people go through like a handheld phase, and it's normally when they're younger.
Yeah.
See, I feel like there's two times, at least for me, because like my handheld renaissance really came when I started working professionally, and I guess it's different for me because I commute in via subway.
Yeah.
So I had a lot of time to kill. So it was like, and it's like, okay, I could do, you know, like handheld games are really kind of these short experiences. So it's like, okay, I could do, like, it was a good time to, like, grind Pokemon or, like, the new Super Mario Brothers franchise. Because, again, you can beat, like, 5 levels within your commute and be done. Yep. So that was my second renaissance with it.
I could see that. Yeah, that makes sense.
Anyway, sorry. Like, I think we started on... Microsoft acquiring Bethesda.
Somehow ended up...
we're talking about fucking GBAs.
Phil Spencer's in that documentary.
Yes, that's where he got it from.
Yeah.
Always a connection. But I mean, to be fair, we knew that Microsoft was going to acquire Bethesda. It was just officially announced. And then they had this event today. I mean, I think the big thing for gamers in the immediate future is that almost all Bethesda games that are available are coming to... I mean, by the time this is up, will be out on Game Pass.
There's some weird exclusions there. Fallout 3.
Isn't that already on Game Pass?
I looked. It's not on the app.
I thought it was on. I thought it was on the little graphic I saw that showed all the games coming. Am I wrong on that? I know I saw Fallout.
Yeah, you did. Like, you saw a bunch of Fallout. You saw New Vegas. You saw 4. You saw 76.
Yep, I saw all those. But I don't remember seeing 3.
3's not on there. And then so somebody was like, "Well, where's Fallout 3?" And I was like, "It's already on there. Like, that's why it wouldn't be on there, right?" Like. And I didn't.
Yeah,
I searched for it on the app, and it's not there.
Mm.
Original Doom, not original Doom, but 2016 Doom. Now, I did not search for that one, but that one wasn't on the list, so I don't know if that isn't there.
That was on Game Pass.
It was.
I don't know if it is
at some point.
It was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Every other Doom except for that one, evidently hitting Game Pass.
Rage,
the original Rage, yep.
Evil Within 2 apparently as well.
Some of these, like, it's just, yeah, like, I'm not into Dishonored, I'm not into, you know, Rage or whatever, but like, I don't think you could like oversell like how big a deal this is. I think it's huge. Like,
no, I don't think anybody's saying it isn't huge.
I mean, I've kind of seen people being like, "Yeah, whatever, man. These games suck, anyways." And I'm like,
"There are games."
Fallout 4 is not good, but come on, man. That's a huge acquisition.
But yeah, it's not just like, oh, we added Fallout to our library of you know franchises we have. They added Doom. They added Quake. They added Fallout. They added Elder Scrolls. Evil Within,
Bethesda's easily a top five. They were a top five third party company, right? Not in terms of sales, just in terms of like the kind of like mind share of gamers. Like, their games are big, dude. Like, they're big deals. Yeah. Like,
I mean, Skyrim sold like what, 50 million copies? Like, you can play that on your fucking refrigerator.
Yeah, so. Like, anyone trying to downplay this is crazy. On the flip side of that, I do wonder if this is going to have an effect on how this generation plays out. I mean, that's how big of a, I think, acquisition it is, where it's like, if I'm a person that's only going to buy one of the next gen consoles, I might sit there and go, well, fucking Fallout and Elder Scrolls are coming to Xbox. Like, that would make me, I know I'm going to get both systems, so it's just like, whatever, but...
Well, yeah, I am curious to see if some of those projects that were kind of already being made with multiple consoles. Like, I know what he said, but yeah, I am curious if some of those that were already deep into work will still see release. But yes, going forward, like, the next Doom, the next Elder Scrolls, the next Wolfenstein will be Xbox exclusive.
Yeah. Oh, Wolfenstein. Yeah, forgot about that. they also included there.
Yeah. And also, I'd say, like, I love Wolfenstein, the Old Blood. But also, just the first Wolfenstein, like, 2016, or not 2016, whatever it was.
Yeah, that first reboot, right?
Yeah, I think that one is excellent if you've never played it. I guess I saw Earl, you saying, like, you have never played, like, any of these games.
I was thinking of the system. I'm just like, Dishonored, nope. Doom, no. Elder Scrolls, no. Evil Within, no. Fallout, no. Prey. Like, I mean, it's weird because I respect Bethesda, and like you said, I think they're a great company. I'm just like, I think I've tried Wolfenstein: The New Order, and it just was kind of, there's one where you start like in a wheelchair. I don't know if that's Order or Blood. Like, you're in a wheelchair with some guy on a ship.
Maybe
I'm making that up, but yeah.
No, that sounds. That
you,
sounds
you
like
start
something.
In a wheelchair in no, not
the
start.
Second one.
Is it in the second one?
Aren't you like recovering from an injury?
Yeah,
the second,
you are on a ship. Yeah, they rescue you from a ship, and then you're
okay.
You find your wife who's pregnant. She I don't remember why she was like half naked, but she just like starts shooting everybody up.
That one didn't do it for me just because it was just like more of what they did in the first one. Like the first one was just like, wow, like they really like figured out how to bring this back, you know? And it was just like the sequel was just like more of that. But I liked the old blood because it was trying to do more of just straight, like this is a World War II fucking Nazi zombie bullshit. Like
and not the revised.
Yeah, like semi, you know, future or, you know, 20 years after World War II alternate history type thing. Right. Like it was just like, here's Wolfenstein, like kind of how you remember Wolfenstein from the 90s or whatever. Like,
yeah.
But I would say like, you never played Fallout, Earl?
No.
Wow. I think Fallout, I don't know. I think New Vegas is really cool. Like,
yeah.
If you like those first person RPGs, I don't know.
We shall see. And yeah, I mean, it's interesting because I did enjoy the time. I did not finish it, but I was enjoying my time with the Outer World. I always forget which is which.
Outer Worlds.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that is based off of the Fallout formula, right? Yeah. So we shall see. I mean, I got access to them now. So.
Yeah, you have that entire library now. Bring back.
I mean, Fallout 76 is a big one to start with. Some people say it's the best in the series.
Fallout 76. Yeah.
Silence that falls over the chat.
I've heard they've improved it a lot since it launched with no content, but
yeah, I feel bad because I bounced off it after an hour, like when it launched. Like I have it on disc.
You were hyped for it, like.
Well, I was like, you know, they're not gonna fuck up Fallout.
It's the
like,
next Fallout.
A different thing. Yeah, it's you know, I knew it wasn't gonna be like the normal Fallout game, but I was like, yeah, they'll you know.
But it also didn't sound like it was gonna be the Elder Scrolls Online. Like it sounded like it was gonna be this other thing. So you're like, yeah, it's gonna be Fallout. I agree with you. Like I was, but then like I waited to get it, and you got it, and was like,
well, like
oh, no,
we're got this out on
not
it.
Not good.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty empty at the start. Evidently, they've done a lot of work to it. It is more like a traditional Fallout game now. But
there is a base of people that like play that game. You know, like you know, part of me does want to like check it out. But I think what like is good about those games is like they're really good single player games. So it's just like you know, I don't know. I'm in no rush to like figure out if it's actually good.
And I mean, we know Deathloop and Ghostwire Tokyo are still going to be PlayStation exclusive timed, but they're going to end up over there for 6 months or so. So,
interesting.
Yeah, it's I will be interested to see what happens when we get around, you know, E3 time. And when Microsoft and Bethesda kind of lay out their plans for the rest of the year, because I do think people are going to lose their shit once it is they come out and go Starfield is exclusive to Xbox. I think
people are like in denial about this. Like there's people are just like, yeah.
I mean, we saw it with you know certain people we are friendly with. just you know, jumping and saying like, well, you know, there's no chance that you know Indiana Jones would be, you know, exclusive. Like, there is precedent for Disney making deals though that are exclusive to one.
Epic Mickey.
So, yeah, like they did Epic Mickey, which was just to the Wii at first. Epic Mickey 2 came to multiple platforms, but Spider-Man though, like they own Spider-Man. Sony has the movie rights to Spider-Man, but they own Spider-Man. They can make Spider-Man games outside of Sony if they wanted to. They let Sony make a PlayStation only Spider-Man game. So
it can happen. Prepare to cough up the $500 for that Xbox. That's all I'm saying.
Or as every PlayStation fanboy that I see on the internet, they all already have gaming PCs, so it's fine. They'll be good.
Or yeah, it's just that, or a lot of just like I don't really care about those games anyways. Like Bethesda, fuck them. Like it's just like I guess. I don't know. Like, Microsoft is poised, I think, to, like, have a really good generation, at least software-wise. I have no idea how this is going to play out. But
at the
like,
very least, they're going to be competitive.
Yeah, and it's, I just, you know, with the amount of studios, just between Obsidian and Bethesda, I'm like, there's going to be output from them, and I'm going to care about those games and buy them. Like, and it's, I would hate to be someone who was just, like, committed to only having the PlayStation 5 and being like, I'm just going to, like, convincing myself that I don't care about missing out on those games. Like, I don't know.
And one of the things I like about this is, you know, they added a lot of studios here that do first-person games. You know, id and, you know, Bethesda games studios themselves, they do first-person games. But they also added in another, you know, third-person studio where, you know, Tango Gameworks does... has done third-person stuff. They did the Evil Within stuff. I think that's important for Xbox because so much of their identity is first-person that they could have some other third-person games, which is kind of Sony's identity. That
would ground. We'll I hope so. Though. I prefer, you know...
Yeah,
I prefer, like, third-person action adventure RPG type stuff.
I am excited for you know, for what Xbox has coming. Like, it should be interesting. They could fuck it up, but
it's hard to say right now. Where it's
it's more like potential because there aren't like they didn't confirm actual titles, right? They weren't like we're working on like a new Doom or something. It's just like it's an excitement,
right? I mean, we know some of the stuff that Bethesda's working on, right? We know Elder Scrolls 6, we know Starfield, we know Indiana Jones.
I just trust there's that, and I trust that they're not going to do what they did to Rare and just like gut the company.
That was my other fear. It's not necessarily what they did to Rare, but the fact that Microsoft is a by the numbers company, and I feel like they will leave Bethesda, but I feel like you'd get like more of a schedule like Doom every 2 years. Like Doom, Wolfenstein, and then like maybe Fallout and something else. Like,
well,
you say that, but look at Microsoft's recent history with their own internal studios. Like, they have not forced releases of games.
They have not.
Halo Infinite's not out.
Like, I was about to say the flip side of that is it also shows that like they need to rein in their studios a bit to be like. It sounds like contradictory thoughts, but like the fact that Halo Infinite. Like, you should have pushed for that to be a launch title. And the fact they waited until they revealed it and people turned on it to be like, okay, we should take this back to the drawing board is not good management.
No, that's bad.
Or, like, fucking delay the Xbox. Like, they should have
been
these two things are shipping together, and that's how we're going to plan it, and we're going to plan our announcements around that. So if Halo was not ready, they should have said... Here's the Xbox that's coming next year. Like, you know, like, I don't know. Like, they should have.
In my opinion, they should have done something
more like that.
I was going to say, that's harder because then, like, you're screwing over third parties. You're screwing over marketing partners. There's a lot of people who are in that decision. You're screwing over retailers. There's a lot of people who are involved in that decision that would get hurt. And I think it's harder to do. I mean, granted, you can also argue that, like, not having a marquee title hurts. But like right now, since you can't get either system, we really can't tell. So like everybody's like
not having games on either machine because like that's also an issue on the PlayStation. Like they have a little bit, but there's not really, you know, exclusive to this next generation going. But they're still selling out. Like, and Jeff again could not get one today.
Twice.
Back to your point though, Earl, I could see this going like we have Halo, you have, and then you have Doom and then you have Wolfenstein, like in a 3 year cycle, giving them some time, or maybe even add Gears in there somewhere so that all these games have some time to breathe. You could have Bethesda releasing their big, you know, first person RPG. And then whatever Obsidian is and one of their studios release, like I think they could stagger stuff and we could be we could be in for a lot of good stuff on Xbox if they deliver.
Yeah.
All right. There was another piece of news this week. Kind of came out of nowhere. And Earl is super excited about it. Tell us about the turtles, Earl.
Four Green Turtles, heard the news, Chance to Mutant Bio News, Found by a Rat. Nah. Okay, anyhow, yes.
Help! Help!
I'll be right back.
But yes, we had an announcement of a new Ninja Turtles game, which I should have looked up before this podcast, but I want to say it's probably the first Ninja Turtles, the first new Ninja Turtles game in like 6 or 7 years.
When was that the one by the Bayonetta people? It wasn't by them, but it was by that studio.
Oh, okay. Then that was, I think that might have been the last one, the one by Platinum, right?
Yes.
And even then, that was for some odd
reason. A while ago.
That was also single play. I don't know why. Okay, so that came out in 2016. So it's, oh, you're going to be 5 years. Mutants in Manhattan. And yeah. So yeah, I don't think there was any rumblings of like a Ninja Turtles game or anything. Like, it's also, I would also say it's weird because I feel like the franchise is kind of in one of its down periods. There's no new movies in production. Rise of the Ninja Turtles just kind of ended abruptly. So there's really not much going on in the franchise. So it was, what was it? It was Tuesday. Everybody's just relaxed. And like, how I learned about it is like, somebody's like, oh, there's a new Ninja Turtles game page on Steam. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to go check it out. And, you know, like, Steam is like, it's just coming soon and whatever. And then like, the trailer drops like 10 minutes later. It is based off of the 1980s animated series. So it has a, like, the trailer has a cover of the theme song performed by somebody I don't know, but apparently he's a name. Does not sound great. It's 4 players co-op online, local play as well. Right now, we know the four Ninja Turtles. The trailer makes it seem like you'll get to play as April and Master Splinter as well. It has a cell shape, like not a cell, a sprite based art style. It is from the developers of the Scott Pilgrim vs. the World game, published by the people who made Streets of Rage 4. So like, everything on paper just has me excited for this game. Classic 2D beat 'em up, and those are, I mean, I think we've seen with again with Streets of Rage, I think Double Dragon Neon, yeah, so with Battletoads, that there is a market for that, there is a resurgence for that, and I am just jacked for this game.
I think it looks great. Like, it looks exactly what you want from like an arcade Turtles game. No release date though, right?
No release date. They just said soon, and it's coming to Steam and consoles. That is the information we got. So who knows? It could be out next week. It could be out by the end of the year. I'm hoping it's in the first half because, you know, it's a light year, and I think this would be a great game. I think, at least for me, while we're still kind of in lockdown, if 4 players online co-op, I'm down for it. Yeah.
Especially if it comes to Game Pass, like,
I mean, if, yeah, like they're
Streets of Rage did, so I mean, there's a possibility of that. So,
but
I think,
you know, if it's $15 or less, I'm in. It's not my favorite genre, but like, I do have love for like the Ninja Turtle ones, so I'll play with you, Earl.
It looks fun.
It looks fun. One thing somebody pointed out, which I thought was really nifty. Like, each of the turtles gets their own unique running animation.
I saw someone, I was going to retweet that, I think, but like, that is neat. Like, a little bit of care put into animation,
just,
even.
Just
like,
to make the characters different, because, I mean, that's always been, I mean, I think that's part of what's always made Ninja Turtles appealing, is that you have these four very distinct personalities and how they play off of each other and how they bounce off of each other. I think it's, yes, you know, the personalities have changed and evolved over time. But yeah, that's been one of the great things. I like that there's, you know, like callbacks to Turtles in Time. Like, we've seen footage of them like throwing their foot into the screen. We've seen fights with Bebop and Rocksteady. Of course, Shred is there. I think we saw some Mausers. So, yeah, it's just great. And, you know, I personally speaking, as somebody, I think I mentioned this on the podcast, as somebody who literally just rewatched the entirety of the 1987 series in the past year, I think it is neat that they're going back to that. Granted, I also kind of am always, especially with Ninja Turtles, because they've always evolved. They've been, you know, since then, there's been three different animated series. There's been one live action series we don't talk about. There's been, you know, five live action movies. There's been one animated movie. It's always been a franchise that's kind of evolving and moving forward. So it is weird that they're looking back. But I'm also curious if they will have like skins and stuff related to other characters. Since, again, Nickelodeon owns the brand, they have access to all of that.
Yeah, I just found that out. I was like, I looked up a list of Ninja Turtle games, and they have Nickelodeon Kart Racers 1 and 2 listed
in the Turtles games.
And, like, I was like, I did not, like, that's not who I associate the Turtles with, so it's, like, weird seeing them.
I almost bought those kart racers a couple times because I, like, you see Ninja Turtles like on the cover, kind of like, I think they show at least one of them.
Yeah, on the first game, it looks like Donatello is on the cover. He looks
like
really weird looking, but
those games are always on sale for like around $10, like the first and second one. And it's like, I heard they're not good, but it's like, I don't know. $10 kart racer.
Looks like the second one might be better. Also has a bigger character list.
Yeah.
It was on my list when I was, you know, my week of streaming when I wanted to do licensed games. Because there are a lot of interesting ones. And I think this one would get me back. Because it, as much as I was enjoying it, it's better than like the G.I. Joe and Cobra Kai games that were just kind of dumped out.
Well, interested in this new Turtles game to be determined when it comes out, though.
To be determined, yes.
Hey, maybe soon it'll be like next week. You never know.
Yeah, wouldn't it be cool? Yeah.
I don't think there was any other big news, any other actual news, actually. So, what have you guys been playing this week?
Ooh.
Don't playing with myself.
Okay.
All right. I've been playing Mario Kart Live.
you got the.
That's the one I want to hear about.
So, I don't know. I had considered getting this like last year. I have kids. They like Mario Kart. They like remote control things. So it kind of seems like a natural fit. So, but I didn't really have space for it. So I'm in my new place. My apartment is wide open spaces. It's like designed in a circle. It's perfect for this. So basically, you get your cart. The cart has a camera on it. You download the software to your Switch. So the cart costs whatever it costs. The software is actually free. You set up these AR gates throughout your space. And then you play, and the cart drives around your space like a remote control car does. But the whole time you're looking at like the Switch screen, and you are literally playing Mario Kart on your Switch screen, except it's in your apartment. So you're like driving along, and it's putting like other racers in there, and like banana peels, and like the blocks that you run over, and all that stuff is all there. It's like if you hit a banana peel, the cart stops. So if you're like watching somebody else play, that's what you see. Like the cart just stops and doesn't move until the person starts driving again. But it's just moving around, and it just looks super cool.
Isn't it cat, too, like if you hit like a boost or use a mushroom, like your
the cart will go faster.
That's so cool.
The actual speed, it's not fast. Like if you watch driving around, like it's not like, oh my God, look at that thing moving through the space. It's not fast. If you're actually playing, you're like the turn radius of the thing isn't that far. So like if you have like tight corners or whatever in your apartment, it's not going to make that big of a deal. So it looks cool. It looks really, really cool to play. Watching the carts move around is, it's just super fun. watching my cat like chase it around. Like I hear my son play, he's like, "Ah, it's Macy," because the cat is attacking him. Like, so not only does he have to look out for shells, but the cat trying to bat him around. I don't know. It's really, really, really cool. I don't know like how much longevity it has. Like, there's not a whole lot of like leveling and stuff here. There's also not that many carts out. There's just the two, Mario and Luigi. Right. Those are the only two you can get. And you need a new Switch for each player.
Yeah, so like it's prohibitive. Yeah, it's like Crystal Chronicles back in the day. Like it's just like,
yeah. Well, it's far worse than that because like if you need a $300 system,
$100, yeah, you need $400.
All right,
$400 to play with somebody else.
Yeah, everyone needs their own system. Everyone, you got to buy multiple carts. Like it's like outrageous. But
it's
like,
cool though. Like the first time you play through, you like you do like a trial run. And like it sets up the course based on like where you go. So like my son set it up so like you go into my bedroom and then you go around the bed and then you go under the bed and come out again. And like and it sets up the course in the game to follow that route. So like you'll see these like this road on the thing, like these red lines that's the course. That's where you're supposed to go.
That's neat.
Yeah. No, it's really, really cool.
How's the cart actually looking, Earl? You could probably speak to this too because you think you have one, right?
Yeah,
cart looks really good.
It's tinier than you would expect.
What do you mean? The thing is like it's like 6 inches long. It's like 3 inches. Like it's decent size.
It's not a remote control car though. Like it is a remote control car, but it's not like buy a remote control car, they're a little bit bigger than that.
Yeah. It's not small. It's not tiny.
No, I'm not saying it's tiny. I'm just saying, like, it's not a Hot Wheel.
Okay.
Which I also own Mario Kart Hot Wheels.
Of course you do.
Listen, it's not my fault that Nintendo World used to be where I worked. That's on them. Could have built it in any other city.
They could have built it anywhere else.
I want to work anywhere within walking distance of Nintendo World. Go.
I don't anymore. I mean, I also don't go anywhere anymore, but that's a whole different story. I've actually not gotten to use it much because I don't have open space to drive it around. So the thing I was going to ask you, since you probably have a better guess than I do, how is the range on it?
I didn't have to worry about it, honestly. Like it definitely went all the way. My son was playing on one end of the couch and it was on the exact opposite end of my apartment and it was fine. So I couldn't tell. He didn't need to be in the same room for it to work.
So it works throughout your apartment though.
Yeah.
It's good range on it.
You know, I kind of like could easily do like a circle design track in my place. You could kind of do a circle that goes from the, like the living room to the kitchen.
Yep.
To like a hallway. Like it's
and it doesn't need to be on like hardwood. Like carpet is fine.
I have hardwood, and I would like to like bust the track out into my living room. So like while I'm playing, the carts would like drive past me. You know what I mean? But like, I could do it, man.
You can also like print out more of the AR gates, like if you wanted to.
You buy more gates?
Yeah. Well, you don't have to buy them. You can print them out.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, so you don't necessarily have to spend money on them.
Can you custom design them then?
I don't know if you can. I don't
like,
think
I mean, because
so.
It. I mean, if you just need to like have a specific thing that, because I mean, essentially the camera has to see the gate to mark that you drove through. You could just have that, and then I mean, granted, I guess you would. It wouldn't really make any sense. The one thing I have noticed people would do, and I don't know, like people will design tracks like stuff around the house as kind of like the barrier, so like when you're on the Switch, like because again, the camera's in front, so like anything the cart sees will actually come off on the screen. So like,
right.
People have done like game boxes or like, you know, like just like boxes or championship belts I've seen where they've designed the course in that route around stuff in their house.
Yeah, I could see people getting really creative with that.
Thing I have like two dogs and two cats. Like I think that thing.
They'll just chase after it and chew it apart.
They do, but that's part of the fun.
It'd be cool to see them like on the big screen as I'm driving around. There comes my fucking dog.
Like Godzilla.
Like, destroy him. Yeah. Grabs my cart off the track.
I guess we also skipped over the fact that you ended up getting a Switch because that was the talk of
I was
gonna say, we didn't tell you to buy this. You can go crazy. Well,
my kids were bugging me for a remote control car, and I thought like they liked
the video,
so that worked out. But I did end up buying a Switch, so that arrives tomorrow. So I don't have it yet, but I saw they had the Blue Mario edition.
Yeah,
was like back for Mario Day, so I ordered that and a couple of Mario games to go with it. So
nice,
like Mario 3D World and Bowser's Fury.
Yes, that was one. And
is that a transition?
No, I haven't. I don't have my Switch yet, Earl. I can't.
Oh no, I thought it was gonna transition for Chris.
And the other one was New Super Mario Brothers U, which I didn't have a Wii U, so.
That's pretty good.
It's a very good 2D mod. I think it's probably the best of the new games, and I think it holds up. I think it's up there with World in terms of quality.
Yeah. Yeah, it's close. And I think the one on Switch comes with a new Luigi U as well.
Yeah,
yeah.
Which are the more
so funny.
Crazy levels.
That's how I convinced myself to buy that re-release. I'm like, you know what? I never had Luigi's version. And then, you know what I did? I
played played
through the vanilla game again. I think I might have played a level or two of Luigi. I'm like, fuck this.
They're difficult.
It's harder. Yeah, it's way harder. I think that one is, like, I remember when that one came out, I was a big defender of that one. Because I'm like, yeah, their launch lineup sucks, but, like, people are underselling this 2D, like, Mario. It is, like, a really good 2D Mario.
Yeah, I mean, kind of going back to what Earl just said, like, it's up there with the best of the 2D stuff.
Like, I don't know if I put it up there, but it's I will agree with, it's easily the best new Super Mario. Like, I don't really like new Super Mario Brothers, and this is like the only one that I think is like acceptable. But there's like some really cool levels in it, so yeah. I hope you enjoy it, Tony.
I do too, because I spent money on it. But it was on sale for Mario Day, so it was $20 off. That's kind of why I did it.
I do think, like, I'm super interested in thoughts on 3D World though, because I do think like. I think that's like near the top of Mario in general for me. I think 3D World is really high for me.
Yeah, it's,
but
it's
I don't think really
now transition to 3D World.
Sure. Well, I mean, it comes with Bowser's Fury as well, which is the new piece there. It'll both be new for Tony, but
it'll all be new.
Yeah, I finished Bowser's Fury over the weekend. It just kind of. I was thinking I needed more cat shines.
See, it's like I said, I did not realize it was at the end.
Like, yeah, well, I had looked it up and somewhere it said like you needed 80 shines. I was like, oh, there must be another area. So then when I finally like kind of eked out what I could get in the area and it was visible to me, I went and you know, rang the bell or whatever when he became big again, and it started a sequence that was like the end of the game.
Oops. Yeah.
It's like, oh, well, I guess we're done now. So it's fun. That is a you know, it probably took me a little longer than some people because I do this with any of the Mario games, but like I get fixated on a certain level or a certain task in that level, like, oh, well, here's, you know, you need to get this shine. And so, like, I end up doing that over and over again until I actually get it. And there's some ones towards the end of that game that they get a little difficult.
How about that one island that has the invisible platforms and you got, like, the
coins
all around it? I was kind of obsessed with that one. I'm like, I'm getting this. I don't give a shit. Yep. Like, it's so annoying because, like,
you can't
you just
see
kind of
anything.
Have to feel out and memorize where the platforms are because they're invisible for real. Like,
I found it easier to do with Fire Mario.
Yeah,
because you can kind of you can see a little bit in front of you. Obviously, not all the way, but when anything bounces off of it, it gives you an indication of where it is.
And I did like that one challenge where it's like take the, you know, follow the blue coins up, like
that one's tough.
Pretty cool. Yeah, it kind of like it's circles back around. What's that, Earl?
That's not fun with the like the invisible platform.
It got me mad, but I was like super engaged in that, like in the platforming of it for, or whatever, for some reason. Like
it's one of those ones that's just like here is a like it's really not a skill thing. It's more of a memorization thing.
Yeah.
But it's like learn this course and really you have to remember it blind.
Yeah.
And that it's kind of like, yeah, when you hit it, you're like, yes.
Yeah.
There was one I gave up on. I think it's in the second area, the ice area. One of those blue coin challenges where you have to get in the skate. And
yeah. That was like, I was so fixated on that. This one jump, I kept missing the first jump, I think.
Yep.
And, like, I missed the fucking thing.
It was a big
gap.
Yeah, for me, I did it so many times. You go to the end, you just in and back, and I just kind of gave up. I'm like, this is so frustrating because like
it seems so easy to hit.
Awful.
like the whole thing is like it's just that first jump for whatever reason. It's like easy to miss, and then that ruins the whole thing. And it's like you said, you have to like go back and get up to the top of the island again. And so, I did it 2 or 3 times. I'm like, you know what? This is fucking bullshit. I keep missing this. I'm not doing it again.
Isn't there a cannon that shoots you back?
I remember having to go back as, like, I don't know. I guess maybe I was just running up the side of the island as the cat or whatever.
There is a cannon that gets you to the top of that, but you do have to climb up there a little bit to get to it. What is the other one I really liked was, it's this kind of like island offland by itself that has rotating platforms. Over lava.
Yeah.
And that one's fun, like the challenge for that, like where it's like
I did die a couple times and got mad about it. Like I'd be so close to the I think it was like the halfway point or something.
It's like I like the ones where it's like, oh, you know, find the were they red coins or purple coins, like if there's 5 of them in each of those areas, and like that one was one that was just driving me nuts because I couldn't find the second one. Like, where the hell is it? Like I found the first one, found the third one. Like, the second one should be in here somewhere, but... And it was at the bottom, like, right above the lava. So you have to kind of go down with the platforms. And really neat. One of the things that was starting to get frustrating with me was... I think, Earl, you said, like, Bowser shows up, like, every 7 or 8 minutes.
Yeah.
It should be longer. Like, he shows up too much and like ruins the specialness of it. And
like I said, the flip side is like you want him to show up so you can get those stupid.
Yeah.
So it's like I want him to, but yes, I get it. Like, when you're in the middle of something and it's like the rain starts, it's like, God damn it, guy. You just like hold up like 5 minutes and we get this done.
Yeah, like you're in the middle of a challenge, like, you know, some of those ones where you got to like run and go get a key and it's like, you've just made this so much harder, and I'm halfway there, so it's like
I almost wish it was super rare, like once an hour, and then you could just like, you know, if you needed something, hit pause and go fast forward to Bowser, like do it that way.
Right.
Just like the way, like I don't know, I think that's one of the things that dragged the game down a little bit for me, is it's just like he's like there every couple of minutes. It's just kind of a he's like just a nuisance. It's kind of annoying. Like, it's not ever like, oh, this is super hard to do now. It's just like, I don't want that, like that pressure, that intensity while I'm just trying to fuck around in an open world. Like,
right, I'm just trying to explore here and find, because a lot of it is just that. It's just exploring and finding. Overall, though, I found it to be quite fun. So.
It's good. I do think, like, out of that package, though, especially if you've never played them, like, 3D World is...
Well, yeah, I mean...
Harder way, the better game.
And I will just... because I actually got to play that this weekend online with some friends for the first time. And for the most part, I think online... I mean, you're great on the curve for Nintendo, but I thought online was super smooth. I mean, it's all in-game, so you go in... Like, if your friend has to tell you to set up a game, you can text that, like, you want to know. You just click on their name, you join instantly. And the one, I mean, I don't remember this game multiplayer because it's been so long. when you are playing multiplayer locally, is the first player always just in control of movement on the overworld?
Yes.
Okay. So I thought that was weird because I'm like, I want to go somewhere. It's like, nope, you got to wait for this person.
They were just totally in charge of it. Like, it was just them. Like,
yeah. Outside of that, though, like, I mean, we played some free world. We didn't really have any lags or disconnect. Okay, that's not... We didn't have lag, but... And I think a lot of people have complained about this. The music-based stages are really difficult because, like, those are so time-based that it's sometimes, like, the music and your connection don't necessarily always match up. So that was a bit of a tricky one. And then the other thing is not necessarily online-based, but, like, you also realize, like, a lot of that game is designed, like, and the new games have this problem as well. Designed for single-player has multiplayer. There are times where, like, if there's falling platforms or scrolling screens, where it's just going to be a trade-off between, like, somebody's going to be that person who runs ahead and carries everybody else forward.
That's what I was complaining about last week. Like, it's just, like, whoever, like, the least patient person is dictates, like, the pace of it. Like, it's just... You know, they'll run ahead, they'll hit a pipe, then you're all going in the pipe, or you fall off the screen, or you know what I mean? Like, it sucks because, like, those people play the game the worst in a way. Like, it's just like, I want to see what's in the nooks and crannies here. What the fuck?
But yeah, it's also, I mean, I guess the alternative is like, what is the alternative? Because it's a fixed camera, so you can't pull the camera out necessarily.
Yeah.
And it makes sense, like, if you're going to follow somebody, you follow the person furthest ahead, and having the person ahead be pulled back by people behind. But, it is fun. Especially, like, for instance, there were parts where it worked out for us, but there were parts, like, the marathon boxes where you go through and you have to get a green, 10 green stars or something like that. And one of my friends was Toad, and Toad, especially with the new speed boost, just zips through those stages.
Yeah.
So, like, we would still be, like, just getting off the starting line and Toad's already at the end. And, I mean, it worked, but it's just, like, one of those things where, like, I just stopped after a while. I'm like, I'm just not going to go. Because, like, it doesn't make any sense. Toad's going to be there at the finish line anyhow. But, yeah, and the one thing, and my friend called me a psychopath for this. I like to play random. I don't, like, all the characters to me have their perks, so it's not like I want to fixate on just one. You can do random, but I didn't realize, like, if you randomize, it randomizes it for everybody, not just the person who does it. So we would just, like, I just did, and then after a while we stopped because if people had their specific characters, I'm just like, yeah, I just like mixing it up. I've always enjoyed this. It's like, because I mean, at the end of the day, you can beat a stage with any character, so it doesn't really matter who I'm playing as.
Princess all day, every day.
And then somebody's Toad and somebody's Mario. Luigi, I feel, kind of gets the short end of the stick in this game. Because he can jump higher, but that's not often needed. Whereas Toad has his speed and Peach has her glide. And then once you unlock her, Rosalina has the spin attack, which gives a bit more elevation.
There are there's certain, like, platforms in the game that only, like, you know, Toad or Peach,
yeah, that was a win, because that's introduced later in the game.
Yeah,
and that was really weird. Like,
there was something I felt like I was over jumping. I can't remember, and I'm playing as Peach though, so
yeah. And the other thing that I mean, and again, sometimes the get balance is weird. With the double cherry, there are, like, in the double cherry stages, there are sometimes parts where it's like, okay, you need to maintain like X number of characters to get these. But, like, in multiplayer, because you always have multiple characters, like, it's never an issue. It's like, okay, we just need two people on this ship, and one person there. It's like, double cherries are in single player, but it wasn't really multiplayer.
It is a neat power-up, though. Like, I think that was new to that one.
Yeah.
Like, when you're playing solo, it's neat. Like, if you have, like, eight of you going, and, like, you just, like, just
jump in. Oh, it's insane.
Like, yeah.
Anything else on 3D World or Bowser?
They're good.
Tony, you play anything else this week? besides Vikings?
I don't think that I did. No.
Any new stories to regale us with your Viking Minecraft?
I guess the big thing is that Sean finally got sick of us putting everything wherever we felt like putting it. So, Walter and I signed on the other night, and we're like, it doesn't look like Sean's been on in days. I wonder where he is. Has he gone on a camping trip? Like, is he gone? Like, has he not been playing? And then we discovered his portal where he had like left us behind.
Wow.
So he portaled off to his own like fort that he had built with like storage areas that were all labeled. Like, you know, you have all your materials in the game. So put stone here, put resin here, put coal here. So he basically created this place that was like orderly and organized and, you know, everything that I am not. So, but we've gotten farther. Like, we're starting to get like new materials. Like, we found iron now. We've gotten into the swamp and discovered some new enemies, which is cool. The game seems to like steadily drive you further north. So I feel like it's, there's kind of like a path where, like the tougher stuff is in the northern reaches of the world. But then again, this could just be the specific world that we're in because everybody's playing in a unique spot. But it just seems happens to be like at the bottom of the map was like the plains, the meadow, and then there was the dark forest, which was slightly north of that. And now it's the swamp, and it kind of seems like the other stuff is farther above that. But we're moving. We're getting stuff. We're building new things. It's still amusing. I'm still enjoying it, so I plan on playing a lot more of Valheim.
Nice.
Yeah.
Jeff, you playing anything this week?
Jeff plays nothing. Jeff plays the silent game.
when Jeff gets back from wherever he's gone, he can tell us about Rocket League. Earl, you playing anything?
Yes, I started. PlayStation is doing their, I forget what the official name is, this essentially Stay Your Ass Home campaign.
Mm-hmm.
So I got Ratchet and Clank for free as part of that campaign. And it's all money. And this is the reboot from, I think, 2016, which is also tied into the movie somehow, I guess.
Kind of. Like, they both released around the same time, but they don't really, like, it's not the movie, the game.
Yeah, it's not the movie, but I think there's like people. I think they said there's cutscenes from the movie in there or something like that, but that is not. So one, I guess it's not necessary for everybody. I've always enjoyed the humor of Ratchet and Clank. I think, okay, yes, the titles are kind of juvenile, but the humor, it tends to work for me. It's a bit. It's kind of a classic cartoons in its humor, and this one they kind of humans baked in because it's the game is being narrated by Quirk.
Yep.
As he's telling it to people in prison. So you get Quirk, who's always just a fun character. But you also get one of my favorite tropes, which is the unreliable narrator. And being like, they're saying something that's not happening on screen and being corrected and stuff like that is always nifty. And I like that it's also how like they built in tutorials where they like, oh, they're like the young wombat would know to double jump here or something like that. The core of the game so far is, I mean, it's Ratchet and Clank so far. You get really really cool weapons. You get, you know, gadgets and stuff like that. The thing I'm not liking so far, and I could be wrong, is like I feel like the planets are smaller and they're just kind of refocused on stuff. Like, it's like, okay, let's do this one, like, do this big task, which is, like, the first planet is, like, go here and kill a bunch of enemies. And then the second planet was, like, okay, find this rock star and then kill a bunch of enemies. And then you just kind of, I assume it opens up more later on, I hope. But, like, the game looks nice, the music's good, the narrate, it's just so far the gameplay can be, it's not, like, super different or grabbing me just yet.
I think some of that is just like it is a remake of that original game, so they're early on they're exploring some of the, you know, same same areas, same kind of like that first area, that first planet is just like, yeah, here's, we lost Craig there. You're just you're learning how to fight, and then the second one is like, oh, you're learning how to do some tasks. It does a little bit give you some more complex stuff to do, but I don't think it ever really opens up quite like, you know, Tools of Destruction or Kraken Time did.
Yeah.
It's more of a refocus on that. I do hope that Rift Apart kind of brings back the more broad areas.
But yeah, I will continue with it. It's a good game, so nice. And it's free. It's free for the rest of the month. So I mean, if you got a PlayStation account, why the heck not?
Right. Like, if you don't already have it, go get it. It's definitely worth it.
You don't need anything. You just need an account to claim the game. And it's free forever, right, as far as I can tell.
Yeah, I believe that unlike the PlayStation Plus games, which you need to have an account for, this is yours. Anybody can have it as long as they have a PSN account.
So. And again, stay your ass home.
Yep. Jeff?
Yes, sir.
What have you been playing?
So, for last week, I've not been playing much. My nights have pretty much gone like this. Like, my girlfriend will go to bed at some point, and then I will spend an hour and a half playing basically two games, and then going to bed. And those games were Curse of the Dead Gods, more of that, and mm-hmm. Rocket League. Curse of the Dead Gods, I've played a bunch of. I probably spent more time on that, but have not been able to beat any of the second tier level bosses. Made it to one of them twice at least, and just gotten destroyed by the last boss. So I'm a little worried about Curse of the Dead. Like, I think the game is great, it's worth the $20 or whatever, but like, I'm like, man, am I never gonna get past levels? I'm sure it'll happen one day, but just basically grinding that game out. And like, that's one thing I've noticed about roguelikes, I guess, is like, it is like an insane grind to get a better like slot machine at the beginning of the run. Like, that's all it is. Like you're just putting hours into like, oh, maybe I could draw this awesome like fucking axe to start off with instead of some bullshit sword that's worthless. Like, but still just like that fucking slot machine dynamic of it. Like, but yeah, I'm actually still enjoying that.
Good.
And then yeah, just then usually right before bed, like maybe 2-3 games of Rocket League. Which is, not a new game, so not much to say about it, but it does look really good on Series X, and that was made clearer when I finally set it up on the Switch. it's like free to play now or whatever, so it's like, yeah. I was like, oh, I'll download it and like see how like linking the accounts and all that shit works, and then played a couple games on the Switch, and then went back to the Xbox, and I was like, wow, the Xbox One looks amazing, but I don't know what else there is to say about Rocket League other than, like, the game is awesome, I think. Like, really good, fun arcade-style game,
I should jump back into Rocket League just to see how they have things set up.
I'll play.
Since they've gone free-to-play.
Yeah, like, and I'm still, like, figuring out what's what with that. There's a bunch of things you can unlock, obviously, and...
Yeah, there's like flags and different paint jobs for cars, and yeah, so there's a lot going on there. All right, I played a bunch of games. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on most of them. I finished Bioshock 2 and Minerva's Den for that video game club I'm doing with Javi and Paul. I remember that game being a whole lot better than it was. It's not bad. It's just not as good as the original Bioshock by any stretch.
You know what's funny is I played a couple, like when the collection came out,
mm-hmm.
and I had the opposite reaction. I remember really? It being not, I remember it being not good, and like replaying it, I was like, you know what? Like it has more interesting gameplay mechanics than the first one did. I thought, anyways.
It's like there's, I don't know. There, one of the big things that it does is like, oh, you know, you still have the little sisters to. You fight off a big daddy. You're a big daddy in this, but you fight off the big daddy, and you get the little sister, and you can adopt the little sister, or you can just drain her right away. And if you adopt her, then you can then, you know, keep her on your shoulder and walk around and collect Adam from victims on the ground. And that sets up like this horde style thing where, you know, basically you put her down and you have to protect her for X amount of time. That gets fucking tedious. Like two or three in, I had to stop. Like, I was like, I don't care. Like I enjoyed going after killing the big daddies in the original. And then this just overuses the end of BioShock where you're protecting the little sisters, as they collect the Atom. I thought it's just like overkill there. There's some fun stuff though towards the end where you know, you actually become a little sister and you're seeing the world through her eyes, which is this like, it's this utopian view of everything. Like everybody's clean and they're all regal. It's like neat. Like there's some cool story stuff there. But and then Minerva's Den, I had never played before, but everybody has been raved about that when that came out. It's fine.
I played that when I got the collection too, and I was like, I don't know, it's okay.
Yeah,
I don't remember anything about it, but I remember it being fine.
I mean, it's a neat story. Each of the you know, BioShock 2 and Minerva's Den each touch on different things. Like you know, BioShock was, you know, libertarianism gone horribly wrong, like it would. But then, like BioShock 2 is like socialism gone like horribly wrong, and then Minerva's Den is technology, like that part going horribly wrong. So it's interesting to explore. It's only about 3 hours long. I do think that there's some good story stuff there, and they're the ones that went on to make Gone Home and Tacoma. Right, yeah. So like there's some good story stuff there, but it's still BioShock. So it's like, I don't like the way BioShock plays, but you know, the story kind of pulls you through the environment of Rapture, and Rapture's still a great place to explore. So
I think that's like, I like the gameplay of those games, but like to me, it's just like the setting, even Infinite, like, I know some people don't like Infinite now, but like
City in the Clouds, and yeah,
it's just like, it's wild. Like it just, I don't know, it still blows my mind.
Let's see what else I play here. But play through Bugsnacks.
Ooh,
that's a game.
It is the game.
It's a weird game.
My children like that game, which makes me afraid they might eat me.
I could see why they'd like it, like especially if you know, they've you know, find the mechanics fun. Like I do think the trap mechanics are neat. Like, oh, like, you know, you got to set your trap and get them to come into it, and some of them require different things. Like oh, this one likes chocolate, so to lure them into the trap, you need to shoot something with chocolate, or you need to use your little remote control drone guy and have them chase it. Or you got to catch something on fire if it's ice, or like there's a lot of like different mechanics in there, and it's like, this is, you can experiment with, but man, that story is weird.
It's weird.
And not in a bad way. Like I enjoyed it. It's just like, it gets dark, pretty damn dark. Like it's a game about, you know, overconsumption and like enablement. Like you're addicted and I'm just going to keep giving you these things that you want, even though it seems like, you know, you eating too much of this is not good for you, but sure, you want more, here's more, go ahead.
And look, you're dead.
Yes. Yeah, that's what they don't really tell you. I did read something beforehand. It's like, hey, like, maybe if you want to save everybody, don't feed them a lot, because the last area, if they end up, you know, if they get by your defenses, they'll end up having to be forcefully eat them, and you don't want to like lose them there. So that was interesting. But also, I mean, I thought it was like quite refreshing, but and I'm honestly surprised that we did not hear a uproar about this, because this is a game that looks very kiddie. It's I don't think it's necessarily a kid's game, but it is definitely designed like the character designs are like preschool looking like puppets. So you go to this island, and the person you're going there after is this kind of explorer, Steve Irwin type explorer. She has an Australian accent, and she has a girlfriend, and like it just is like, there's, you know, that's normal, like, you know, gay couples are normal. But I am surprised that we did not hear, or maybe nobody looked into it far enough or paid attention to the dialogue. But like, there's a part where if you find one of the videos that they've recorded, like, she says something about tying her up, and she's like, ooh, not on camera. okay. Like, wasn't expecting that. And then later in the game, you find out that these other two guys, one is this buff guy Chandlo. He's like the big meathead, and he is like very protective of this kind of like the guy from a Big Bang Theory, Sheldon. Like, he's very like quirky and science type guy, except he's also a conspiracy theorist. You find out that they're a couple as well. Like, they didn't know they were a couple, or the one guy didn't know they were a couple, but it's like this has two of your, you know, 12 main characters, or four of your 12 main characters, like, are gay. And I don't know if that's, to me, I thought it was like great. Like, these are good characters. The relationships are great, but I'm honestly surprised like Fox News didn't like try to burn this game to the ground. So, neat game, over in about 7 hours, so it doesn't take a long time. You can go back, there's plenty of stuff to do. There's like 100 different bug snacks to catch, so I could see why your kids would get wrapped up in it and enjoy it, though. It's quite fun.
I'm just gonna make sure they don't force feed me anything. I know what that
means. Yep, don't don't eat the snacks that are bugs. Real quick here, I started Maquette on PS. That's the one of the free games on PS Plus this month on PS5. It's a puzzle game. I think like a Russian nesting doll, but a world. So like, you have like this small version of the world, and then outside that small version is a bigger version, and outside that is a bigger version. It, like, just keeps going. So there's some like cool puzzles where you can bring something inside the small Maquette, put it down, and it'll then grow in the bigger world. So like, you put a key down in the small world, like a normal size key, it will create a giant size key in the outer world, or an even bigger key in the outer world. So there's some like really cool puzzles where you're dealing with the three different areas, or four maybe at one point. But then the back half of that game just becomes a walking sim, which I am not enjoying. Like, it's
I remember seeing like a trailer for one that I thought looked interesting recently. Is that like first person?
Yep. Yeah, it's a first person game. Very colorful.
Yeah.
kind of has like this circus tent dome in the center.
Yeah, okay. I think that might have been the trailer I watched where I was like, that actually looks pretty neat.
Yeah, it's like really cool. Like, or it's like, oh, like you know, you take this thing and you're trying to find where to place it in the model world, so that you can then functionally use it in the bigger world. And you're manipulating sizes, and there's some really cool puzzles. It all revolves around this story of a couple that, you know, they got together and then they fell apart. And I don't care anything for the story or these people, because you're just getting like little bits of their story. And like, there's no emotional connection to them. So it's like, just give me cool puzzle shit. Like that's what I'm here for. But the back half of it is all this story. And it's like, I don't care, mostly because like, you didn't give me enough at the front end to actually care. And now you're trying to force me to care by making me walk through like their breakup. But it's free. So, and Jeff, you can claim it. If you have PS, you might not have PS Plus.
Definitely not.
But if you did have PS Plus, you could claim it, and play it when you get a PS5. One other one I'm going to touch on, Jeff and I played this. We both really, I think Earl, you might have played it as well. Sayonara Wild Hearts. Replayed it on iOS. I mostly just did that I bought a controller for my phone. There's a game coming out called Fantasian. It's by the guys who did Lost Odyssey. And it's coming to Apple Arcade. Exclusively to start with, and I was like, I want to play that game. It looks really cool. So I was like,
I bought a controller for it,
and I was like, because that's how I'd like. I don't like playing with touch controls. They kind of suck. But yeah, to like try this controller out, I was like, you know, what's a good game? What's a game I can get through too? Like, you know, Sayonara Wild Hearts is like an hour and a half long. This controller is really neat. It's called the Backbone. It's pricey for a controller, $100, but it plugs right into, so it basically makes your phone into a Switch. And there's 1,300 games on iOS that support controllers. So, also, Apple gave me a free 3 months of Apple Arcade when we bought my daughter's iPod for Christmas, so I had to redeem that as well. So now I'm playing the Pathless with it, which is a PS5 game, but also on Apple Arcade, and that controller is working great with it. So. But Sayonara Wild Hearts, amazing. So
great music too. Like, I love that music so much that I bought the album and I still listen to it sometimes. Like, it's really good.
Is the soundtrack just like the soundtrack's just out there? You can buy it.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, there's like maybe six songs with lyrics, and then the rest is like Clear to Loon and shit like that. But like, dude, like those songs are really great pop songs. I think that like, that's half of the formula of that game. You know, it's the really great music just compared with like, just played against like this fun scrolling, like kind of trippy experience. Like,
yeah,
I don't know.
Like, I love that. It is real. Like, it's this crazy, you know, you're fighting three headed wolves and flying through dystopian cities, and ultimately it comes down to like, you beat death. Like, you beat all of them, like at the end, by kissing them, and then when it's done, you fly a dragon out of there.
it's awesome. It's really cool, like artistically, and like also like kind of these arcade sensibilities. But like, that fucking music is just like right away grabbed me, and like, you know, after buying the album and listening to it more, I'm like, these are just great songs. Like,
really, yeah, the music's excellent, and then just paired with like really cool visuals. And then a diverse, you know, each level is something different. It's not, you know, there's like old school, like bullet hell in there. I mean, it's not hard, like, you're, but it's like, here's what that would be. or you're just trying to, you know, go through a maze like Pac-Man at some point. Like, there's some really cool stuff in there.
Yeah.
That's fun. There's fighting game mechanics in it at one point. Like,
Some would say game of the year.
Yeah.
2019.
Yeah. All right. I think that's it for us. I don't know. No, what's on tap. Like, it's still like kind of working through backlog at this point.
I guess the one thing we do know for next week is Square Enix is doing a Square Enix Presents.
Oh, right. I forgot about that.
And based off of the lineup, I'm not surprised. It will have Avengers. It will have Battle and Wonder. And it will have Just Cause Mobile. It does have Outriders, so it's got something going for it.
I'm interested to see what they're doing for Tomb Raider. Was it 25th anniversary?
Yeah.
I'd like to see what they're doing with that.
I feel like it's just going to be like a trilogy pack of the last three Tomb Raider games.
Yeah, because that's what they did for Tomb Raider 20th anniversary. They just re-released the 2013 Tomb Raider. I'm like, it's the 20th anniversary edition. Like, cool.
But we'll see. But overall, it seems like it will be iffy. I think that...
I'm going to try the Monster Hunter demo. I know it's just going to be Monster Hunter, but
I want to try to see. I'm going to see if that stupid glitch is done, because I am kind of curious to pick it up to play with friends. I've been playing Dauntless with some other people, so I feel like it can transition. We will see. We still don't have any major releases, do we?
No. I think Monster Hunter is the end of this month.
Yeah.
Battle and Wonderland's out soon too, isn't it?
Yeah.
And that's, I think, not my horror. Oh, I'm not buying that, Jeff. No.
It looks so cool, man. Whenever I see like the kind of like art style, like the color scheme, like that looks cool.
$20.
Alright.
When it hits $20, I will get it. I saw an awesome clip. It was absurd, but it was a farmer singing a song in that game, and I'm interested in the absurdity of that game, but not at $60 or $50 or whatever it is.
Okay, yeah, I'm kind of in the same boat.
I think I might download that Project Triangle.
Oh yes, yes. Triangle Strategy.
Yeah, I think I might download that.
I've not got a chance to play it.
I don't know if, again, I know we know Tony's a strategy fan, but I'm not sure if that's his type of strategy.
Probably not.
Because he doesn't like Fire Emblem.
You know what you gotta do now, Tony, is get Pikmin. Pikmin!
I'm sorry, pick what? Pick who?
Yeah, I'm not sure that's Tony's strategy.
Even still, I think like he has to try Nintendo's take, like their like Super Nintendo take
on real time strategy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Do I?
Yeah, it's great. You'll love it.
Oh, and Tony will have his Switch, so we'll get some new Mario takes.
I'll play Mario.
All right. Well, we will have stuff next week. Jeff, say goodnight.
Good night.
Warwick Davis does give it his all in most of those movies. So.
Yeah, but how much is that exactly?
I mean, he's fine. He's a little guy, so
he's not the problem. He's not the problem.
No.
And it's always fascinating because the first one is like Jennifer Aniston's first.
Now recording.
Big role, right?
Yes.
Yeah, and that one's just more, it's straight to video. It was a straight to video movie, but it just feels more like your standard slasher almost than any of the others. Like, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong on this, Chris. Like,
no, but you're right. It's that is more of a like, oh, you know, it's like it's Friday the 13th or Halloween, but instead the killer's a leprechaun.
Yeah.
But it doesn't have as much of like the series gets known for being pretty comedic, later on.
Yeah.
And it's more serious. It's a more serious slasher film.
Dude, it's part two was such a weird one.
I guess I ate her on. As I should say, I feel like part two starts that.
Yeah, they start more personality. So.
I remember it's so weird because like I double check me on this, but like I almost remember for sure. Leprechaun 1 was straight to video, and it was like successful enough that they like did a theatrical release for 2. Like I remember there being trailers on TV for part 2, and then like it came out in theaters. Could be wrong, but like I definitely remember it that way. And then they're like, no, we're going back straight to video. Like, this is not.
Yeah, I'd like to go back in time and arrive at this podcast 5 minutes later.
Like, I don't want to talk about Leprechaun.
It's almost St. Patty's. It comes up.
That's why I got special green Lucky Charms.
Like, so Lucky Charms are green?
They turn your milk green. They're limited edition.
They turn your poo green.
They do that too. But I don't care. I don't drink my poo. I drink the milk. The milk will be green.
I didn't ask you to drink your poo. This is all great.
It kind of sounds like you did.
This should be on the show.
We may need to leave. Like, add this at the end.
You know what's funny is I've been feeling better the last couple days after like 4 months of fucking bullshit, and I think the secret is I'm eating a bowl of Lucky Charms right before bed.
There you go.
I mean, it's coming out green. But
it's coming out.
Yeah.
I don't know if you need to know.
I don't know if I just got a special box or what.
Than I needed.
I don't know if I got a special box or what, but like way Lots more marshmallows than I'm used to.
Anyway, Ice-T was in Leprechaun in the Hood.
His poop is not green.
Yeah,